fucking typical. Literally the second we hit record.
Oh yeah.
But alas.
Not surprised.
No, never am at this point. If things went right with the podcast, I think that's when I'll be surprised.
Yeah, like as if like we're bang on time.
Yep.
Everybody's correct, like microphones, laptops, everything's working. Our lighting's good. And it goes without a hitch.
Exactly.
Yeah, we are in fact about an hour late to record, as per usual.
We are exactly an hour late to record. Yeah, my notes almost disappeared again. Not the first time that's fucking happened. We've had nothing but disasters with editing. I'm like, why can't it just go smoothly for us? It's not that it's our fault. We try really fucking hard.
You've done something to spite somebody now in a previous life, and it's all coming back. And I'd love to know what the fuck we're after doing.
I would too. Because it has to be a previous life, because I've never had the opportunity to do anything to anyone in this life.
You never know, we might have pissed off like a spooky bitch and now she's after fucking hexing us or something.
I mean, you did spend a whole episode taunting a little bitch in Charleville that tried to push you down the stairs. It could be her.
Because she fucking did! And it's deserved!
I'm not saying it's not, I'm just saying little it might be her. We also have the issue of Ben drowned, and I'm pretty sure Dean Corle is haunting us. So we have a whole bunch of, everything is coming for us really, isn't it? We just never should have started this podcast.
It's literally just been, it's like episodes of Scooby-Doo, but less intense.
Yeah. Speaking of spooky little bitches, I'm here to possibly have another one haunt us today. So.
Off. As if we need more.
Honestly. But it's a terribly fun story, I think. I mean, it's grim. It's really fucking grim, but it's also very entertaining. So, the thing with this story is that it's debatable. There's two sides, we'll say, to the story, and it depends on which one you want to believe, whether this is, in fact, a child murderer. I mean, no, she definitely is a child murderer, no matter what version of the story you look at it, but it's like, stray child murderer or controlling parent causes child murderer. Kind of thing.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's a little bit fucked up.
So it's like she killed the kid.
She killed many people. I'll get into it.
Okay. Exciting.
Yeah. It's a whole fucking story. But yeah, we're traveling back to the 1940s with this one. So it's old enough that even if there was no murder, everyone would most likely be dead already by now anyway. So we can take the piss freely.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we would have done it anyway. Just less apologising for it.
So, unless we have anything we need to tell our listeners for this week before we get into it, should we?
I might have to get into it, but I might not be able to. I think I may have discovered someone like money laundering in work. I can't confirm my suspicions. Like, not that people in work are doing it, but I feel like something is happening where this woman is coming in and doing, like, dodgy shit, and I feel like she's money laundering. So, like, I can't confirm anything. Like, I'm not saying, obviously, where I work, but basically... Yeah,
can't say it, but using where you work as a source of money laundering, like, to launder the money through. Is that what you mean?
Kind of, but through another company as well.
Right, what the fuck?
Because it's 400, 500, 700 euro... every week, nearly bang on the dot, or even every 2 weeks, and sometimes it's like a grand at a time. I'm like, what money do you have to be doing this and to be buying these things, to be taking pictures of it then to send to people in America? I'll get into it after.
Yeah,
Miss Marple.
You definitely
you
need to
me,
tell
but
us.
I'm fucking onto something, bitch. Let me tell you.
Oh my God, a scandal. Yes, okay, we need to hear about that off air, but unfortunately due to legal reasons we can't talk about it on air, so enjoy that little snippet because that's all you're getting.
No.
Alrighty, Quiva, anything?
No, I'm just I'm just listening to you. I'm enjoying listening to you today.
Perfect. Well, listen well, because you're going to want to listen to every fucking detail of the story, because it is fantastic and I've been waiting so long to tell it. So, let's dive in. So, this is the story of Chloe Davis. which I have decided to dub Mother May I, because that was the first, like, the name. Yeah, there's a reason. It needs to be disgusting. Because that was, like, the start of the article that I found this on, which I've actually forgot. I think it was just blogspot.com. They have a four-piece article dedicated to this.
That could be fucking creeps, man.
Yeah, it should. It should.
I kind of, like, I have a scenario in my head in which I'm seeing this being said. And I'm not going to tell you what it is right now, just in case, like, I'm bing bing on the spot. I'll wait. And yes. If I'm wrong, I'll tell you, like, what's happening in my mind palace.
I have a feeling that you might be onto something. I just have a feeling. So we'll see.
Right, okay.
We're going to start with a wee bit of history. So, on Christmas Day 1926, 23-year-old Lolita Del Bjorkman married the man of her dreams. 28-year-old Frank Barton Davis. Both of them had grown up in the same Michigan town, met and fell in love. On September 4th, 1928, brought the birth of their first child, a baby girl, which they named Chloe Dibble. A terrible name rooted in family history.
Excuse me.
Chloe Dibble Davis.
That is horrendous. Oh, Dibble. Sweet love of fucking Christ.
Dibble. Dibble. Dibble.
Like that's like...
You know the kids would have called her Dibble Dipshit, like, just to be arseholes as kids. And you know what? They would have been rightfully, like, deserved.
Genuinely.
To have a name like that.
Dibble Dip dog shit.
Like Dibble is her, like, she was like...
That was her second name, like, her middle name.
That's, like, on her birth cert, like.
Yeah.
That is... Her middle name! It's not even like a double barrel.
No, it's her middle name.
Last name.
I think.
No.
Oh, sweet Christ, that's even worse. That is even... They clearly hated her from the get-go.
Yeah.
Dibble as a name.
Yeah. Rooted in family history, like, apparently. Legit, I don't know.
Or is that just...
No, wait, it implies that someone in one of their families was straight named Dibble as a first name.
Do you know what? It probably wasn't. This is going to sound terrible, right? Given the time, people that had anything wrong with them, they were usually locked up in the fucking attic, like, handcuffed
to
rafters. That...
you're named
I'm
after...
I'm telling you now, I guarantee it was one of those.
Dear Uncle Dibble Davis.
Do you remember, like, that episode of the episode of The Simpsons, where Bart, and there's, like, the other one in the attic that just eats, like...
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
Like, the fucking fish bones and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm picturing. Or, like, the one from American Horror Story. Was it Bo that was locked up in the attic?
I was thinking of Bo when you said it. No. Oh, poor Bo, bless him. But yeah, you might not be wrong. Uncle Dibble could have, or Auntie, I suppose.
I'm not wrong.
I can't. It's so weird that would be, like, a name. Because I looked it up there and, like, it's all, like, it's a surname. But they obviously were like, that actually would be so cute as, a name.
Yeah. Because, like,
it's actually meant to be
her,
like,
mother's last name was Bjorkman and her father's last name was Davis, so they didn't just give her a different last name from theirs. It is her middle name.
No, her name is
Chloe Dibble
Davis.
That's
so weird.
But yeah, I'm glad you hate that as much as I did. It doesn't, the next ones aren't as bad, because over the next 9 years Chloe would be joined by three more siblings. Her two sisters, Daphne Dell on January 10th, 1930, and Deborah Ann on July 1st, 1933. And then finally...
Relatively normal.
Relatively normal, right? And then we get fancy with Barton Marquis on March 7th, 1937.
That Marquis. Actually sounds like a brand of
marquees. Yeah. Like a marquee. Yeah, exactly.
Marquee is an M-A-R-Q-U-E-E.
Q-U-I-S.
How did she spell it?
M-A-R-Q-U-I-S.
Oh, it's French.
It's French.
I think they just called him, like, Mark for short. But yeah, so Barton after his father.
You'd want to.
And then Marquis as his second name, but they just called him Mark. I think, from what I've seen. The wonderfully named Davises, by 1940, had moved to a quaint little two-bedroom house at West 58th Place in Los Angeles. They were described as the most normal vanilla family that you can get, with a devoted mother, a hard-working father, and they were described as one of the most likable and devoted families in the church that they attended every Sunday. Lolita was highly concerned with being a good mother, and being an avid bookworm, she would read books on parenting in her free time. Books like how to be a good mother and how to raise good children were found like in her library.
Ugh. I feel like if you have to read that, it's a sign that you're actually not capable of doing it by yourself. Just a thought.
I mean, Lizzie, look, some problems might have been saved if some other people picked up some parenting books. You never know.
To be debated, but anyway.
But she also liked to dabble in true crime literature, a hobby that she shared with her eldest daughter, Chloe. By all accounts, the Davis family were textbook, happy, loving, and nothing but the status quo. But, because there's always a but, and it's a big but. On April 5th, 1940, that idyllic, picture-perfect fairy tale was shattered with many a blow of a hammer. Lolita Davis lay lifeless on a mattress in the hallway, burned and bludgeoned with her wrists cut down to the arteries. 11-year-old Chloe, yeah, it just gets right into it. An 11-year-old Chloe sat at her side. She rose to clean herself up, as she, at this point, was soaked in blood. She sidestepped around the body of her mother and made her way to the bathroom, using the sink to wash herself, since the bath was occupied by the body of her 7-year-old sister, Deborah Ann, laying in more blood than water from her skull that had been fractured by a claw hammer. I sound like I'm experiencing true joy at the murder of these children. It's not. It's the true joy of the shock that you're feeling right now.
That just went from like, haha, dibble, to a dead child in a bath.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a dead
with
mother
no
all,
real break, so I don't think we know how to feel. Whatever about the dead mother. Not, I mean, like, whatever about this bitch, but like, it's the bathtub kid.
Just going to straight say now, it does not get better. And I have written my notes in the form of a dramatic storytelling rather than my usual format of just giving details, because I feel like this deserves it. So.
Oh, God.
So, Chloe calmly washed the blood from her face and body and dabbed at the blood that trailed down from the wound on her forehead where the hammer had grazed her, then stepped over her mother's body once more to go to the bedroom that she shared with her now bloodied brother and sisters, and changed her clothes, then fashioned her blonde curly locks into two pigtails before leaving the house and locking the door behind her.
Spooky bitch.
Right? Imagine just casually, calmly, at 11 years of fucking age, getting changed, washing all your family's
She's 11!
She's 11! She is 11 years old.
Chloe, sort out your priorities. Like, and I'm sure bludgeoning your entire family is not fucking the first one you should be choosing.
I told Very you this story was a wild ride. It is a wild ride. And it does not get better.
Oh, God.
I'm quite stressed, actually, about where this is going to go.
Good. I'm very, very glad that this is stressing you out. Take the shock, Cuiva. Use it, because you're going to have some strong opinions as I go along. She made her way to a neighbour's house between 9 and 9:30 a.m. and politely asked if she may use their phone to call her father, who had left for work not 2 hours before. So all of this shit went down within the space of 2 hours. Remember that.
She was quick.
Mm-hmm. The neighbour...
Okay, 2 hours.
Of course, obliged, and Chloe called her father and asked him to return home immediately, though giving him no reason as to why.
Okay.
She then sat on the front
door. If that
was
me,
mm-hmm.
and I did that to my father, like, here, Dad, can you come home now? Can't tell you what's wrong with her, so.
Yeah.
The height of abuse.
Honestly,
God. I'd be like, shut the fuck up.
You either fucking tell me now or leave me the fuck alone, like.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than people that are like, who are like, I need to talk to you about something.
Yeah, then tell me.
Like, tell me or fuck off and leave me alone.
Or you get a load of missed calls, you try to call them and there's no answer, and so you're like, that's it, someone's dead.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what did you do? Just fucking yeet your phone into the ocean.
Or you have 100 missed calls and you ring them in a panic and it's like, oh hey, how are you?
Yeah. And it's like, just needed you to pick something up from the shop.
What's the fucking emergency?
Just fancied a chat.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. Now I'm stressed.
Sadly, though, this was not the case, and this man had big reasons to be stressed.
Don't ring us.
Well, I mean, yeah, when you currently have a child clogging the fucking drain of the bathtub, it's a bit... So it's a plumbing issue, not, and then familiar side at the same time. So do you know what I mean, man?
Not ideal, is what we'll say. It's not like what you want on a... I actually don't know what day of the week this would be. Like, we'll just go... We're going to say a random Tuesday.
I was going to say a Tuesday. I feel like Tuesdays are full of misery because it's more promise of a Monday, but it still lets you down. So exactly. It hurts more.
Because you're still far too far away from the weekend at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. So Chloe then returned to the front doorstep and sat down and patiently awaited his return. Barton Davis came home from work confused, as he would be, and asked his eldest daughter what was such an emergency that he had to come home so urgently. To which she stoically replied, "I think you'd better go in the kitchen and see for yourself." That's a quote.
I think the fuck now, Chloe.
No warning, no heads up, like, oh hey, by the way, your whole family's dead. No, just go have a look in the kitchen. Poor Barton's probably like, ooh, surprise party, what's going on? Is Uncle Jerry home from the war?
I'm only even trying to imagine, like, the tone she said it to him in. Like, I'd love to know.
Honestly. Like, no, I'll get into it. I'll get into what she was like, because there's some good descriptions about her later on.
Okay.
So, God bless his soul. The unsuspecting Barton opened his front door to be greeted by a scene of true carnage. The walls and floors of the house were soaked in blood, and after approaching the kitchen, he found the 3-year-old Marquis laying in a pool of blood, almost blocking the door, and just behind him the body of 10-year-old Daphne. They'd been bludgeoned by the same hammer that had caved in the skull of his wife and 7-year-old daughter, and all 4 of them had been beaten so many times that they were left almost completely unrecognisable.
Oh, so she fully, like, made mincemeat.
Yep. Like, again, like I said, it's debatable whether you believe that it was all her or partially influenced. I don't believe it. I'm sorry, I don't fucking believe it for a hot minute. Not 1 minute. But there is an alternate story to Chloe just absolutely fucking demolishing her whole family with a claw hammer. That's the version I believe. But I'm not going to be biased. I'm going to let everyone, you two, and all of our listeners, come to your own conclusions about what version of events you think is true.
Okay.
Barton ran screaming from the house. As you would.
As you would. Yeah.
And as he frantically paced his driveway, declaring that he had nothing left to live for, his eldest and only surviving daughter, Chloe, tried to offer him some words of comfort by saying, "Brace yourself up, Daddy. You mustn't get excited. Come on, let's go for a little walk."
She literally just told her dad to harden up. Like,
what?
Harden up. Like, it's not that big of a deal. We'll go for a walk. And be grand, like.
Walk it off. It's all right.
You honest, fucking pussy. Literally, why are you so upset for?
I would accept the walk and I would throw her head first over the steepest incline that I could find.
Honest to God.
Let her fall. That.
You've run in to find your whole family dead. This little cunt is the only surviving fucking child you have left. It's like, relax your tits.
And it's
Dad.
The weird
not
one.
Too bad. Pull yourself up by the fucking bootstraps, you weak owl cunt. Like, what the fuck?
I actually do you know when you're that shocked, like, you just want to, like, piss yourself laughing? That's how I feel. I'm like, the audacity
do you know
of this
I mean?
Preteen.
I would love to know what the fuck her father felt in that moment. Like, no clue, but would
rage.
Love to know.
I'd say he was vexed.
I'd say
I don't even think it was that.
It.
I think, honestly, yeah. Probably pure horror.
He probably just,
like,
stared blankly.
And
like,
do you know the cold fucking sweat you get when you're so scared or something that's creeped out so much? I'd say it was something like that.
Genuine.
Not like, how dare she? I think it's more of a, what the fuck?
Yep. I'd say his brain just shut
down. Well,
if
he didn't know, she did
just,
it then.
Like, cannot process.
Yeah, no, Creevy, you're right. Like, if he didn't know it then, he knew it now, like.
Get ready to be hella shocked, my dears. Because,
oh, Jesus Christ.
In all the fuss.
As if we're not already.
It, More so. In all the fuss, the neighbour called the police because nobody else had. And Chloe would be brought in for questioning about you.
Chloe's not going to.
Barton can't cope. He's having a fucking breakdown because the whole family's dead. So yeah, of course the neighbour called. And Chloe would be brought in for questioning about what exactly had happened that fateful morning. And it's quite a tale she told.
I hate this child.
When police arrived... You're going to hate her more. When the police arrived at the scene, which I misspelled, Chloe was as calm as ever. Marquis and Lolita were pronounced dead at the scene, but Deborah and Daphne were found to be still breathing and were rushed to hospital, but were sadly pronounced dead shortly after. Yeah,
they're flattened, they could not survive the injuries. What did they think they were going to do?
Yeah. I think they were just desperate to try and save them at all, like, but there wouldn't have been any of them left.
I understand that. I understand that's what they were trying and hoping to do, but if they were that malleted that they couldn't, like, recognize the kids.
Exactly.
You were at nothing.
Honest. Barton was in hysterics, as you would expect. But through it all, Chloe didn't shed one tear and never lost her composure. She was literally, like, the way it was described was that you may as well have turned to her and said, "Chloe, look, I've boiled some eggs." Like, she wasn't surrounded by her whole dead family. She was just like any other normal day. Like, oh, unmoved, look at this cool rock, like, I found. Yeah. Completely unemotional.
That's so
creepy.
Eerie.
Ah, she freaks me out. She actually freaks me out so much.
There's something about stuff like that that just weird fucking, like, kids who don't have any empathy are like...
Yeah.
Emotionless kids creep me out so bad.
It's not right, like...
I can't.
Because they're meant to be overly emotional.
No. Yeah, because they don't know how to deal with, like, fucking every emotion that they feel.
Because everything, yeah.
So to see one that's, like, completely void of it, it's fucking strange.
It is not right, like, it's not. So she was brought to the police emergency hospital where she was treated for minor injuries. One on her head where she was grazed by the hammer and blisters on her hands from excessive use of the hammer. Captain Edgar Edwards of the LA Police Department determined early on that Chloe's head injury was most likely self-inflicted or occurred during the struggle with her mother. Chloe also had scratch marks around her elbows and one long thin one on her thigh, and a small bruise on her arm that seemed consistent with the size and shape of the head of the hammer. The scratch marks on the elbows really bother me because that sounds like defensive wounds to me. As in someone's trying to fight back while she's murdering them.
Being fucking, yeah.
So just...
like trying to, like...
yeah.
Claw at her. Act, like trying to grab the hammer.
Yeah.
But as you say, Chloe's lifting the hammer back. Just say, like, the mother... went to try grab the hammer, but Chloe, like, lifts her arms back in the process and then, like, swings down, cracks her in the head. Yeah,
and you're not going to have a whole lot of strength after being fucking bludgeoned with a hammer, are you? So, like, look, again, I'm trying to be as unbiased as possible, but there's these little details that niggle my brain and I'm like, why was that not looked into? Because it wasn't, but we'll wait until the end. We'll wait until the fucking end. So, under questioning, Chloe's calm, unemotional responses mystified everyone over the course of the 12 long hours in which she was questioned. Her entire demeanour was uncharacteristic for a child of her age, or even anyone who had just witnessed their whole family being annihilated.
That's the thing, like, normal people would react badly to, like, people they didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw that happen to people I didn't even know, I'd be shook after it. And she was
not even if you, like, to see it happen, but even just to stumble on the bodies after it had happened.
Yeah.
Like, that would fuck you up.
Like, when I don't know if I... have I ever told this story on the podcast? Doesn't matter. Small side story about my life. When I was walking home from school that time when I was 13 and I saw your man get his throat slit, I literally walked home in a fucking daze... traumatized from what I'd seen, went home. Like, everyone was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You look like a shit in a slate, because obvious. And I was like, this is what happened. And then I went and sat and folded, like, my knees into my chest and cried for, like, a solid hour. Like, fairly normal response to seeing someone almost get murdered. He survived, by the way. I found out later on.
I forgot that happened to you.
But, yeah. Good. Me and my very traumatic childhood. I was told to get the fuck over myself, by the way, that it wasn't that big of a deal. But anyway. Childhood trauma aside.
I love that. You were definitely overreacting, like.
Of course. Just a casual day in Limerick. What was I even worried about? But back to a non-traumatized child. At one point during questioning, she felt that investigators were trying to trick her into confessing, and she barked back, "You can't make me confess. I didn't do it."
She's smart, though, as well.
Yeah.
Stop knowing your rights, you're a child. But for real, though, like, what kid knows that, like? You can't make
honest
me...
God.
Like,
that's it, yeah. Like, I feel like when you're a kid and, like, an authority figure tells you something, you're just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, believe
and the
it.
Fact that they... That she absolutely knew that they were trying to trip her up in a lie.
She's fucking clever.
She had this shit thought out. Like, that's what I think anyway. I really do, but...
She's spooky.
So, Captain Edwards disagreed with that. He thought she very much did fucking do it. And he was sure that the child was solely responsible for the murders. He just had no idea what her possible motivation behind it could have been. He believed that Chloe had awoken before her mother. So this is his, like, from his years of being a cool-ass detective, this is what he believes went down that morning, based on the scene and whatnot. He believed that Chloe had awoken before her mother, and finding her brother and sister in the kitchen, she killed them first. Upon hearing the screams of her children, Lolita ran in to save them, but she was met by Chloe in the hallway. And with Lolita being a slight woman who suffered badly with anemia...
Oh, God. Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She what hope, had she?
All the strength of a fucking parboiled peach.
Like, no. Like shaking like a shitting cat on a good day. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine a woman had, like, full strength. Then to
a
be
strong
battling
breeze could
a psychotic 11-year-old.
Yep. Who? Was an athletic child with strong muscles that she happily flaunted for the investigators. Like, she was literally there, like, boom, flex. Ooh.
Like, want to see how I got these muscles?
Fucking gun show.
Giving in my kid siblings' fucking skulls.
And even at 11, she was like 4'11", so just slightly under 5 foot. And I don't think her mother was much taller than her. She would have been like 5'2", maybe. From what I could gather.
Or she was getting smacked around the place, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
The mother was like.
Yeah. So Chloe would have easily been able to overpower her mother. Easily. No problem. 0% of an issue. She then killed Deborah Ann, who had been hiding in the bathroom, finished her mother off by cutting her wrists, and attempted to cover up the murder by placing her mother's body on the mattress and trying to burn the house down.
Wait.
All right, relax, like.
Yeah, calm down for a minute, like. The malleting of the head wasn't enough. She then knew then, okay, that she hasn't since died, so I'm going to cut her wrists where her arteries are to let her bleed out. How does an 11-year-old know to do that? And they're like, I'm going to burn the evidence and burn down the fucking house. Not even burn down the evidence because she clearly didn't care that people knew that she did it. But like, just to make sure they're like dead.
It's insane. It's actually this fucking insane.
It's quite scary, actually, because she seems to be very, like, knowledgeable.
How?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, again, the mother did, like, they did read, like, true crime books. Or I don't even know if it was true crime or just, like, crime books in general. But, like, they don't go into that much detail. Like, I read a lot of crime books when I was young. It's nothing like the research we would do now for the podcast or anything.
No, it's more like how most of them are usually, like, from the detective's perspective. And it's never really like, I fucking slit her wrist in this way. It's more like how they're avoiding it's evidence based rather than like injury based most of the time.
And exactly. I'm not being funny as well. It was what, like the 1940s?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a lot of detail like that, like gruesome detail, wasn't put into books as like compared like they are now, where like everyone kind of is not a lot more used morbid. To it, but they're not fazed by gore.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I mean? Where people back then, like, it would have been the most horrendous thing they've ever read, so I can't imagine their crime books being that, like, fully in detail.
No, they wouldn't have been. Because this is sort of, it's a couple of years before, but it's around the time of the Black Dahlia. And, like, even then they, like, whatever they had back in the day in terms of a Photoshop type deal.
Yeah.
Like a blanket over the Dahlia's body when they put it into the newspapers and stuff, so that you weren't seeing the full gruesome effect of like her case, and they didn't put in a lot of the details and stuff because it would have been too much for the public to handle. And I know that's newspapers and that's more public than books would be. Like, if you don't want to read a true crime book, you don't have to. But I feel like books would follow a similar kind of set of rules.
Yeah.
I don't think we're far off in saying that they would not have been detailed enough for this little cunt to know what to do in this situation.
Then how did she know?
Oh, that's weird.
It's apparently a thing with, like, born psychopaths, that they actually have, like, a weird innate knowledge of how to be a serial killer.
Who?
It's like it just comes to them.
Well, they probably are thinking about it the whole time.
If they're experimenting
on animals and stuff. So, I suppose they figure it out eventually.
Yeah. It's literally, like I said, mama bear instinct. Like, if any one of us ended up with a baby in the morning, we would instinctively know how to take care of it. But for them, it's like they instinctively know how to kill a person. It's fucked. It's actually fucked.
That makes me all sorts of uncomfortable.
Mm. Now, look, I don't know the full details of it, but, like, I did read it a few places that is a thing with them. That they just know how to kill from a young age. It's nuts.
That's so septic.
That's so weird.
But alas, when only her mother's hair and nightgown caught flame and then burned out, Chloe couldn't cover the crimes with the fire, and instead took the hour to compose herself and concoct a fantastical story instead, according to Edwards. So again, this is his version of events. Cannot confirm nor deny, but sounds very realistic to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so, here's the story that Chloe gave for what really happened that morning.
Of course.
Chloe says that she did indeed murder her mother and the 3-year-old Marquis, but she did not lay a finger on Daphne or Deborah. She had in fact awoken last to screams of her sisters, as her mother was in a frenzy shouting about demons that were going to take her children away from her and she was killing them to save them. When Chloe came out of the bedroom, her mother swung at her with the hammer, but Chloe dodged her and her mother only grazed her scalp with it instead. I'm going to give you a minute because I feel like you need to say things.
No, I'm just
well,
like...
I just don't believe that.
Who? I don't believe it, like...
It's already very...
It's too kind of... textbook, like what you'd expect. Like, do you remember there was that fucking Family Annihilator last podcast recently covered him? I can't remember his name. I'm saying, like,
yes, hang on. What's his fucking name? I was just listening to his episodes.
Robert List or John List or some
John
shit
List,
like that.
John List.
There we go.
The world's most boring man.
So boring. His thing was that, like, not that his family were demons or anything, but it was more so the fact that, like, the world was evil and he was killing his family in order to, like,
save them because they were in poverty, and poverty was like the worst thing you could be in.
Exactly.
That's what Chris Watts
so I feel like
that's why Chris Watts
the narrative to
one.
Save has been done, and I'd say it's been done for fucking years, like pre from like what we know or that we can find on Google. So I feel like it's matching too close to what would be expected if a mother was to snap.
Yeah, it's literally what Chris Watts said. That's why he killed Shanann, because she flipped out and she was killing the daughter, so he killed her. Like, you know what I mean? It's the self-defense, basically, when it's obviously not.
Yeah. It's like, it's very hard for a dead person to defend themselves. So, of course, you're going to go and be like, oh, well, it was them. It wasn't me, it was them. And I just jumped in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how I said it's very hard for a dead person to defend themselves. It's impossible for a dead person to fucking defend themselves, is what
I
meant.
We don't know that. Ouija boards. I keep on saying it. They're a thing.
Unfortunately, they're not admissible in court.
We can work on that.
We'll do our fucking best, that's for sure. But alas, I continue with this ridiculous version of events that I am somehow expected to believe was the true one. Because a lot of people believe this version of events, can I add, as well. So...
yeah.
I did tick. After listening or hearing what she had said to the father. Did anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, like...
she wasn't this evil little mastermind.
You could say... and maybe, oh, she was, like, mad at her mom so she didn't care that she was dead. But her two... like... her siblings... Three siblings. Yeah, her... her siblings were all dead inside, apparently innocently. So, yeah. You'd be sad over them.
Yeah, so why wasn't she upset over that?
So it doesn't...
exactly. And... it's just... hang on. Hang on a fucking hot minute, right? Hang on. Because you're going to be even more confused by this version of events. Because I'm nowhere near finished with her version of the story. So... Lolita then apparently tried to set Chloe's hair on fire. But, and this is almost comical. This is almost like a fucking... a sketch from a shitty comedy show from back in the day. Chloe was too quick for her and blew the matches out as quick as she could light them.
Could you, Chloe?
Like, can you imagine the mother, hammer in one hand, matches in the other, just lighting them up, and she's just like...
but I'm not being funny. Even if the mother was going to try, like, do that in, like, a hurry... fucking yeah. Wind, it's going to knock it out. So what is she lying that she's like, oh, like her blowing, like trying
Chloe
to fucking
and
blow
her
it
mad
out.
Fucking reflexes, like.
Like she's having like an asthma attack.
When she couldn't light Chloe's hair on fire, Lolita, apparently defeated, demanded that Chloe drag out her mattress into the hallway and then set her on fire, apologising that she didn't kill her first.
Why would someone ever ask you to light them on fire? Whatever about, like, this goes sound stupid now, but like shooting them or stabbing them, like, oh, I can't live what I've done, but I can't also bear to do it myself, like, end my own life.
Yeah.
Do it for me. Why is setting fire your first thing to say when it's obviously the most, like, painful?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I, like, literally no one in the history of ever has asked somebody else to set them on fire. I don't think that's
oh, please,
a thing that has
please.
Ever happened.
Please light me on fire. Nobody says that.
No one. Not once.
Like,
ever.
That's like being like, oh, please drown me. Except worse.
Well, apparently that's
you're on
a
fire
sexual thing. But look, that's a different thing. At least, like, yeah. Like.
Well, obviously, we're not talking in that. Like, being lit on fire is probably a kink as well, like.
I mean, it could, do you know what? You're probably right. No. It could be. But, like, of all the
it
ways to ask
me.
Someone
like
to help you kill
it,
yourself.
Think.
It's yeah, 100%.
Fire is,
you're thinking
fire
about
is not
it.
The one.
We're
it's
talking
not
about
one.
It.
That's
yeah. No, just no. That like, exactly. Stab me, choke me, whatever the fuck. But like, no one is like, oh, I really want to kill myself, but I don't have the courage to do it myself. Will you light me on fire like a fucking candle?
But
I
then
think
who
not.
Actually does it then?
No.
Would you be able to set someone on fire if they asked you?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Lizzie, you wouldn't.
No, I know I wouldn't. But ever when you think of something like that, you kind of get that weird thing. You're like, but could I?
I mean, you probably could if
yeah,
you were pushed
like,
on
I know
out.
I
if
never
it was someone
would.
You apparently loved, like. If it was someone
yeah,
you apparently loved.
Like if I was
like
Lizzie,
a random
really
person, if
you
really had to, they're trying
fire.
To kill you.
No, but that's a completely
say,
different
no,
situation.
Like,
if you had to set somebody on fire, you would. But in this situation where
yeah,
you're being
like
asked
if
you
yeah.
really had
well,
to.
Yeah.
Like
and
I know for a fact
because,
all
like,
three of us.
It's a good reason. It's because she feels guilty.
Yeah. No. Like if push came to shove and we were about to be murdered and the only way out of it was we had to fucking light a cunt on fire. All three of us would do it. We wouldn't even question it. The match would be out of our hands before we could even fucking blink. But in this situation. Like. No. No chance. If it was like, if my mother and her infinite fucking breakdowns came to me and was like, I'm sorry I didn't murder you. Adam and Emma are fucking dead in the background. Sorry I didn't murder you, but I need you to light me on fire. I'm not going to be like,
I spared your
life
so you could light me on fire. Yeah.
Yeah.
I the only reason you're alive is so you can light me on fire.
Exactly.
Good one.
But it's not that, even. Yeah, the only reason you're alive is because I couldn't light you on fire, so now you have to light me on fire. Where is the logic in all of this?
You need a rock, paper, scissors just to see which one burns up.
I'm not done. Would you imagine with this ridiculous fucking story? As in Chloe's version of events, it goes on. It continues. Yes, yes, it does. So Chloe, being an obedient child, did as her mother said and lit her on fire. First her hair and then her nightgown. Chloe then watched as her mother screamed in pain as she burned, but the fire quickly went out. And then Lolita demanded that Chloe beat the hell out of her with the hammer. And so Chloe followed her mother's instructions on that too.
Why are you lying for?
How do people, honestly now, believe that thing was telling the truth in any way, shape or form?
Literally the fucking Antichrist.
If she said, listen, like, it was self-defense, even if she'd said, listen, she killed my siblings, I caught her and I beat the shit out of her in self-defense, and then I panicked because I didn't know what to do because I knew I'd killed her, so I tried to light the whole house on fire.
Yeah.
I'd believe the shit out of that. I'm not exactly believing that she was doing her mother a favor and was like, yeah, I'll light you on fire. I know, like, you kind of look at it like maybe she was like, yeah, fuck you, I will light you on fire. But still,
what she's saying. Like, this is all her version of events. So if she said that, like, she was like, I was really angry at her, so I did light her on fire or whatever. But no. So, to make it worse, it does continue. After several blows, Chloe said that she would get dizzy and tired and would need to stop to rest. Her throat would become parched. And so after a small break to lay down between beating her mother to death, Chloe would then get up and get a drink of water from the kitchen. There she found that Marquis was still in fact alive and moaning in pain. So Chloe asked her mother if she should give her brother a few more whacks to the head to put him out of his misery. And her mother, after being lit on fire and being bludgeoned with a hammer a few times, said yes. And so Chloe finished her brother off and then got a drink of water. And being the ever so gracious child that she is, when she would drink some of the water, she would also pour some down her mother's throat. Because being murdered is thirsty work.
Oh, God bless, like, she was a little bit parched.
Yeah. Throat's a bit dry after being set on fire.
Pummeling skulls. It's thirsty work. Who would have thought?
Who'd have thunk it? Not me.
But the fact that she was out here, Ma, have a drink.
Yeah.
See, a bit of a dry throat. No shit, it was just on fire. Thanks.
That's my whole thought process. I'm like, you're murdering her. Why are you worried about whether she's thirsty or not?
She's not going to be grateful of it in 10 minutes, like, when she's fully hydrated.
She can't move. How's she even going to swallow?
I feel like that was an extra thing, like, pouring water down her, so, like...
That's, yeah.
So she couldn't, like,
I feel like she kind of, like, waterboarded her is what really happened. But
yeah.
Look. But it continued in that pattern. And she would beat her mother, stop for a break, drink some water and pour some down her mother's throat and then start again. Until eventually, Lolita decided that she wasn't dying fast enough after the hammer broke from so many blows to the head that the top of it came off and Chloe was only using the handle to beat her mother with.
She broke the hammer.
She broke the hammer.
The force you would have to have to break a fucking hammer that is used to literally drive steel into walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The amount of force from beating in all four of those skulls. And then she said she doesn't know exactly how many times she beat her mother. But it was somewhere between 20 to 50 times. Just on her mother. I can't even, like, deal with the amount of and thens with just her version of events. But alas, the hammer broke and Lolita decided that she wasn't dying fast enough. So she asked Chloe to bring her a razor blade so that she could cut her wrists. And so she did, and then she bled out and died. And that's Chloe's version of events. That's how it all went down, according to Chloe.
Smell alive.
Honest to God.
When
Barton was initially questioned about the mental state of his wife, He said that she was as normal as you could get and had never shown any signs of mental instability. And more than anything, she loved and cared for her children and would not do anything to hurt them. But then he was asked to come in and help with Chloe's questioning. And after hearing the blood-soaked tales of demons and murder fall from the lips of his only surviving daughter, Barton very quickly changed his tune. She wasn't right for weeks, he said.
Why does it sound like, you know, like an old farmer describing like a cow or a dog that has just recently like bit the dust? She hasn't been right for weeks.
He said, and here's where we get back to like the point that you were making, Liz, where it's very much textbook bullshit.
Yeah.
Because he said it all started when she became obsessed with a book called Blind Devotion about a mother of four children and began to believe that the book was written about her. She believed that she had caused the death of her cousin by sheer mind power, and that demons were coming for her and her family now as retribution for the murder.
Like, she's so annoying, like.
Who do you think you are?
Genuinely.
How special do you think your mind is? So if that was the case, couldn't be dropping left, right, like, fucking centre.
Exactly. I'd have killed plenty by now.
Like flies.
If that was possible, like.
Call me a mass murderer.
It gets slightly more ridiculous here because I'm like, when was that ever a thing? But she said that demons were going to kill her and then turn her children over to white slavers. Do with that bit of information what you will.
What? Chloe?
Yeah. Oh no, this is apparently Lolita. This is according to her husband who was supposed to have loved her.
Oh.
What the fuck?
I don't know what to say.
He's fickle as fuck. Like, he flipped and flopped so quick right there.
So quick. So fucking quick. I have never seen... Man must have had whiplash from the fucking 180 that he did on his wife's mental state. Like, I just combined condition and state and came up with constate. So, whatever.
It's newer.
We're just going to move on because it's fully understandable that I can't fucking speak with the absolute lack of logic in any of the things that are happening in this fucking story. But alas, the evil spirit was creeping up on them and she was waiting for it. So Barton took his wife to a psychiatrist. Now mind her, nothing wrong with her up until like 10 minutes previous, but apparently now he knew and he had taken her to a psychiatrist. But the doctor had declared that there was nothing really wrong with her, or at least nothing that couldn't be fixed. And Barton then took her to two physicians afterwards when his wife continued to act strange. And it was then that she was put on medication for her anemia. And he believed that the anemia had been causing her delusions.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
And I'm, like, given the time where I was, honest God, we've covered like asylum cases in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The list of reasons women used to get are like... men used to get admitted to mental institutions, and for doctors to just to turn around and be like, no, it's not that they can't fix, when they're usually jumping at the opportunity
to lock women up in asylums. That's exactly what I thought as well.
Yeah,
and they're just like, oh no, I'll give her something like for her iron level, she's alright.
Yeah, and I have never heard anyone going literally full blown psychotic because of lack of iron in their fucking blood to the point of murdering their whole family.
They're too tired.
So tell me what strength this anemic fucking bitch that could have been carried away with a gust of wind in the first place before the anemia had to be bludgeoning her whole family to death with a hammer to the point where they all received between 20 to 50 blows from it, and then convincing her oldest child to kill her as well.
No.
Tell me that. That's what I'd love to know. Bothers me. But apparently he claimed that she had also asked him to prove her love or his love for her by helping her commit suicide. Convenient, considering that's apparently what she asked Chloe to do. Where she could purchase chloroform from, so that when the demons came for her children, she could make it painless for them. And even asked him where the best place to kill someone outright would be on the body. So I'm like, Okay, so then you knew then, if this is what you're telling, you knew that your wife was going to murder your children, you did fuck all about it. It's either none of this happened or you let her kill your kids. There's no in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
So you tell me, like. Yeah, he flipped.
And I'm not being
so
funny,
quick.
She's a housewife. She's going to know how to make chloroform, because isn't it just like rubbing alcohol and bleach? She probably has that lying around the house. Why would she
is
actively go out and look? Yeah, it's something like too basic, like shit that you have in your house.
Interesting.
So I feel
yeah,
like
and she's really into crime books. So then why, like, she wouldn't need to ask where is the best place to murder somebody.
She's gonna know.
She's gonna know. Bollocks, right? Tell me that's not fucking bullshit. I don't believe for a minute that this woman had a psychotic
no.
break and was asking how to murder people.
Not for
one single fucking minute.
Not for a second.
Back to the case. By this point, Dr. Joseph Paul de River was called in as the police psychiatrist in the Davis case. Does that name sound a bit familiar to you?
It does. Shut up.
Shut up.
No.
Dr. Joseph Paul de River.
Oh, why do I know?
What's
maybe if I say it's River
who
is spelled
he?
River. I can't say it because Lizzie told me.
Oh my god,
was
that wait?
Remember.
No, wait, was that Black Dahlia? Because we're in
yes.
Los Angeles.
Yep.
I knew it!
He is the motherfucker who profiled the case, the Black Dahlia case, and the Babes of Inglewood. So this is between, it's after the Babes
no
of Inglewood and before the Black Dahlia. This is the motherfucking dude.
No way.
Yeah.
He's a busy man.
He really
this
is.
This is like, you know, those fucking crossover episodes on like Nickelodeon.
Yeah, or like when Hannah Montana was
Zoe
in the Sweet Life Zack and Cody. That's why I'm like, oh my god.
Yes,
yeah.
Oh my
I'm
god.
So
but murder edition. Yeah.
Oh my
so,
god.
Yeah. Driver was like he had built his name for himself by this stage on the Babes of Inglewood case, but had not ruined that reputation with the Dahlia case when they absolutely fucking ignored the facts on who the murderer
yeah.
was.
Still upset by that.
So upset about it.
Yeah.
I'll never get over it. I will never get over it. But yeah, so you might remember as well that he basically led like the sexual crimes division. And I meant to mention this on
right.
the Black Dahlia episode. The only reason I'm bringing it up now is because I forgot to mention it. The man, he's basically like the grandfather to profiling, which is impressive enough. But he also started the first sexual assault unit in the LAPD.
Oh my god.
So it is
no
his
way.
Fault that sex crimes started being taken seriously. Yeah. Yeah. And like, particularly like pedos and shit.
Oh
just sexual
god.
Deviancy in general. He started it off in LA.
So overall, this man is a gem.
He's fucking great.
Fine diamond, one would say.
Yeah, I would like to find something where anyone can say anything bad about him. I mean, they're saying that he didn't quite earn his reputation with the Babes of Inglewood case because the profile that he gave the police didn't actually lead them to catching the killer because the killer kind of walked in and announced himself. But the profile that he gave matched the killer 100%. So if they had gotten to use it, it would have worked. So tell me then what's
right.
the issue there? It's not his fault that the cunt walked in
yeah.
and was like, why are you still investigating me? When they weren't investigating him anymore, but then they were like, well, we're going to investigate you now. And then
yeah.
it turned out it was him.
Yeah.
So,
oh my god.
Yeah, that's the only bad thing I've ever heard about him, whereas like he didn't earn his reputation. But yes, he fucking did. Yes, the fuck he did. And so I trust Dr. Driver in his assessment of this. And he has a theory about Chloe that I said to David 2 nights ago before I had finished my research on it. And now I'm like, I'm 100% right because he said it too. I'll get to it, okay? And
okay.
I feel like as soon as I say it, you're going to be like, yes. So, he assessed Chloe as being above average intelligence, matching someone of the age of 16 or 17 instead of 11. So, like, being five
mm-hmm.
or 6 years ahead of your intelligence level is a big fucking deal. Especially back then.
Especially when it's, like, a development age. It's not,
yes.
like, a 21-year-old and then, like, having the same brain as a 26-year-old or, like,
yeah,
whatever.
No.
at 11 you're still like not even halfway fucking mentally developed yet.
Exactly.
So it is, it's a big stretch.
It's like me feeling like Billy Big Bollocks, because when I was like 10 I had the reading level of a 14-year-old and I thought I was great, and then my intelligence just rapidly declined from that point onwards.
We all have a peak.
Honestly, same.
Exactly. That was when I peaked.
Mine was when I was 13.
Yeah, I feel like mine probably was. Yeah. No, first year. I was doing really well in maths in first year, and then it just completely plummeted and practically failed beyond that point. But yeah.
It's mad, I've never excelled at all. So I don't have
that the means disappointment you haven't peaked of a downfall. Yet. You're doing better. You're doing better than me and Quiva, because we peaked and we have nowhere to go but down.
And you go downhill real quick as well.
Oh yeah.
Fun things ahead.
It's not a slow decline, it's a straight fucking cliff plunge.
Yeah. The only next step for us is the grave. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she was a smart cookie basically, and we know what we say about people that are that far advanced in their intelligence levels, that they're very often linked.
Psychopaths.
With being psychopaths. So he also described her as one of the most cold-blooded individuals he had ever met. An 11-year-old girl.
That's so scary. Ew. Especially when you said she had her hair like in pigtails. It's so much more creepier when you say that, because I feel like pigtails are such like an innocent fucking hairstyle or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Only really kids wear them. It's weird because
it's traditional little girl uniform practically.
And the way then that she presents herself, even in the way that she speaks, is very adult. So it's fucking weird. Yes.
Yeah. He noted her tendency to lose her temper, and Chloe herself admitted to it. A former neighbor and mother to one of Chloe's friends added to this by telling the police. Right, you ready? Chloe had once grabbed her mother by the hair and knocked her head against a concrete wall because she refused to give her a nickel for ice cream.
Okay.
Somebody witnessed that.
Calm the fuck down.
And you're trying to tell me she didn't willingly kill her mother. Like, okay, cool, whatevs.
Or have, like, the physical strength. Like, over a nickel.
Imagine catching your ma by the hair and swinging her face first into a fucking concrete wall and getting away with
it. Isn't a nickel, like, 10 cents?
Yes, I think so.
I have not a clue.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
A quarter is 25. Yeah, nickel is 10 cents.
But like, I mean, that's what ice cream
relax
would
a small bit, like.
But like, yeah. I don't think it was so much about the nickel as it was the ice cream. But still.
What a fucking...
Not a reasonable excuse to smash your mother into a fucking wall face first.
When I tell you, not that I...
But that's a strong fucking
child abuse in any sort of way. But if my child ever did that, by Christ, I would... beat the unmerciful God out of them if they ever...
Honest to God.
That is
I'd bury them up to the neck in the woods and cover their heads in honey. Fuck that. Like...
My God.
No, that's like...
Little fucking psychopath.
Way too far, like. But that just goes to show how easy she baited the shit out of her then.
But isn't that then as well how little of a fuck the father gave?
Yeah.
Because obviously the neighbour or somebody, like the mother, like, she's not going to come out unscathed by her face being, like, mashed into a wall. So, okay,
she had
like,
to
what?
Have some scraps, like.
Yeah, like, oh, what's after going on here? Oh, well, Chloe's after driving my face into a wall because I wouldn't give her money for fucking ice cream. Like, the fact that he was so dismissive of that behaviour.
Yeah.
It's enabling in it then as well. No. At the same time.
Yep. And we're about to get into my shared theory with Dr. Deriver, which might explain why he was so blasé in a way, if he was involved in it. I feel like he probably was. Okay, so Deriver said, and this is a quote from him, "She stood up well for one of a family struck down by such a crime. She showed little emotion. We must take into consideration that Chloe might have an Electra complex. That would lead us to believe her capable of such a deed." Now, if we don't know what an Electra complex is...
I haven't got a clue.
No.
It is the female equivalent of an Oedipus complex.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. It is when a daughter fights her mother for the love of her father.
Oh. I mean, it makes sense, because that makes sense why
he never reprimanded her for any of her behaviour.
Exactly. And I fully believe, because I said it to David, this is what I said the other night. I was like, oh my God, what if it was an orphan sitch where she was like in love with her father, so she murdered the whole family to be with him. Please take a look real quickly at the picture I just sent into the group chat.
Oh, I'm scared.
Okay, yeah, is that real?
That's real.
What the newspaper.
I will be putting that up on the Instagram. I will be leaving this reaction in.
He's proper like leaning in as well. It's not like she's like, oh hi, like
hand on thigh like... and everything. I mean, look, I know they weren't as like, oh, can't be taking pictures like that because it's pedo-y, but I have never, if I saw any father kiss their daughter like that, I would vomit.
But not even that, man. It's not the placement right. of the hand on her very, yeah. like, the very top it's not of like... her thigh.
Yep. It's not right. Like,
it's not
I
like...
actually...
But you know what? That's
so
not even...
when I saw that picture.
That's not even, like, do you know, like, if, like, you were to, like, do a peck. I feel like if you're pecking, it's a straight, like, straight face. A quick, like, bop.
Yeah. yeah.
Not your head turned fucking weirdly passionately to the side.
It's like he's turning up, so it's like...
Yes.
He's... Give... Yeah. We'll have like, to post the picture, because it's really hard to explain, but it's...
No,
definitely.
Yeah,
it's
no.
Just like a little
yeah,
peck.
No, we will, yeah.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, oh... There was... I just feel like there was definitely something on the father's side as well. She may have had an Electra complex. Again, it was the first thing I thought of. It made a lot of sense to me. That's just her... I just sent in pictures of her soulless fucking eyes there
scary
as well.
Dark.
She's terrifying.
What
She's
the
actually
fuck?
Terrifying.
Man,
so
her
scary.
Eyes are so buggy, man.
Yeah.
Ew, the fucking... Ew, what the fuck is that? What is on the floor? Is that the blood-stained pillow?
Is that when she's standing in the doorway? Yeah, that's where her mother was murdered.
Yeah.
That's her standing next to where her mother was bludgeoned to death, yes.
And the state of the little bandage on her head.
Yep.
Wimpy bitch.
Does she look like she gave a fuck to you? Because she does not look like she gave a fuck to me. But yeah, I cannot.
I think you're right that she was competing with
her mother
that,
for
like,
the father.
The son was getting...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fact.
Yeah, and the other kids would have been in the way as well. So, of course, she took them out as well. And then the father was probably being inappropriate with his daughter as well, thus playing into the Electra complex.
Yeah.
And because the mother at this point would have been kind of heading into her 40s, which in the 1940s may as well have been 90. So.
Coffin dodging, quite literally.
Yeah. It doesn't seem that far-fetched for me. So then she killed the whole family to get them out of the way. And I mean, the way he flipped to protect her.
Yeah.
It just makes a lot of sense to me that that's the motivation behind
this
it.
This just feels dirty.
Yeah. It's bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm on Deriver's side because like I thought it before I even saw what his opinion was, but I'm on his side. I think he was right. Again, I think he was right.
Because it does...
And no one's going to look
into that.
Because
she had no problem mangling the rest of them.
Yeah.
So what did make the father different?
Exactly. Just my theory. I wasn't there. I can't confirm. I just feel like I've been justified because Deriver thinks the same fucking thing
it
that I did.
It makes...
And then
no,
that picture, when I came across that picture.
Sense.
Yeah. It really does.
No, and the problem is that... The weirdest thing is, so I feel like that dad, I'm really bad with names, apologies, wasn't in on the plan. So that's
no, I don't think he was.
Yeah, he was kind of, he was kind of defended her at the start, but then when he saw Chloe being like, this is what happened, and he probably knew it wasn't true, but he was like, you know what?
Yeah.
She's done, this is why she's done it, so unreal, happy days.
Yeah. I feel like either that or I feel like because they were up to shit that they shouldn't have been, he might have thought, well, shit, I have to protect her and get her out of this because she might tell them what I've done if I don't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There could have been a bit of an aspect of that behind it as well. But yeah, like he flipped the script so quick once he heard her version of events. And
yeah.
I think he probably realised himself, like, yeah, like you said, oh shit, she did this so that we could be together. Just fucked. It is fucked up. But I'm going to wrap it up. We're getting to the end now. So Chloe's version of events, oh yeah, and this makes me so fucking angry as well. But Chloe's version of events had reached the neighbours and family friends by this point, and they all rallied behind her as Barton fought to get his only living child out of police custody. They came forward with their own stories of Lolita asking for chloroform and asking where on the head would be the best spot to end someone's life. Again, a ridiculous question that nobody asks. So the pressure was on the LA Police Department to release Chloe back to her father, even though they were sure that she alone was guilty of committing the murders. The final blow to the LAPD case, again, I have problems with this and we'll get into it. The final blow to the LAPD case was the coroner's report, revealing that the cause of death for Lolita had not been blunt force trauma to the head as one would assume. Because her head had been on a pillow on a mattress, the hammer couldn't hit her with enough force to fracture the skull, but instead more or less just caused her head to bounce with each strike. So it would have like ripped the flesh out of her face, but not hard enough to crack open her skull.
I just imagine, don't know, the bobbleheads.
Really?
Mm, yeah. Which I thought, like, I never would have thought that a mattress would cause something to, like, I know it's cushiony, but like, I wouldn't have thought it would stop you from having your skull.
Can you imagine then? Like,
if you're being hit quickly and hard, you think it wouldn't make a difference.
But it did.
Oh, that's insane.
Do you know, because it's not really like, like, if you hit someone on the back of the head, you can fracture their skull.
I think,
you know, like, before they even fall down.
Yeah.
But maybe she was too young to actually hit her hard enough or something.
Yeah, that's it. Like, as strong as she was, she still wouldn't have had the force of, say, like, a fully grown man if he were to do it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, if she just used the claw side of the hammer, we're not going to get into that. Yeah, but this is actually not the part that I take issue with. The next part is, but she had in fact died from blood loss from the severed arteries in her wrists. So she bled out basically from the cut wrists. So that did sort of tie in then with Chloe's version of events, where she tried to kill her mother, failed, and then her mother killed herself. But my more belief is that she tried to kill her mother, failed, and then slit her wrist so that it looked like a suicide.
She knew, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was part of her cover-up. But who am I to know? But this is the one I have issues with. Marquis had died from the blows from his mother and not from Chloe, therefore meaning that if you believe Chloe's story at all, she had not caused death to anyone. Now, tell me how they knew the difference between what Lolita had done, supposedly, to Marquis, and what Chloe had done. Because if you're telling me, right, that, now stay with my train of thought, he died from what Lolita did, that means he could not have still been alive when Chloe's story is that he was still alive and she hit him more. That means she just went back for fun and post-mortem battered him with the hammer.
But, yeah, yeah.
Because that's the only way I can see that they can know who did what or what he died from. That it was like post-mortem a while after he died, at least half an hour, say, while she was murdering the mother. And then she went back and hit him with the hammer again. So that completely does not line up with her story, but yet they're using it as part of her defense. No. How does that make any sense?
I don't understand.
Because that's the only
how
way.
How does that?
Unless, can you think of another
how
way they could tell the difference between... Yeah.
Between, like, the mother hit. No, yeah. The only way I could ever think of it would be, like, okay, doesn't the human skull apparently have the same density as a watermelon? So if you look at, like, the fractures of the skull of, like, where you guess what the mother's strike force is going to be, obviously she's fucking dead, so you can't try that or like test it,
yeah,
but you can guess, just say like what an anemic woman and her blah 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 blah. But then having Chloe mallet at something and then like compare,
yeah, which
that's
I don't
the
think
only way, or like a pig skull or no, something like that, that's the only way to see like how hard she was able to strike. But even after that, if she was put in a situation where she had to demonstrate like what she was like in quotes capable of, you don't obviously like, if she was smart, she was going to hold back.
Exactly. And they can't use the mother as a fair judgment because, like we said, the mother had the springs and the fucking cushion behind her to stop it from fucking bouncing or whatever, or from actually fracturing her skull. So then you can't get a proper indent of the true strength of how hard Chloe hit her.
Yeah.
So then you can't compare those either. So the only way I can think of that they could tell the difference is because one of them was before he died and the other was post-mortem. Which doesn't line up with Chloe's story.
No, but even at that as well, like, if his skull it was that badly bashed in, how could they fucking tell which one was pre and which one was post-mortem?
Yeah.
Maybe they're just talking shit, like.
They are just talking shit.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make none of it makes sense.
The only thing I can think is all as if there was like one side was done in first and then the other side, like if he was supposedly moaning and whatever, turning over. But again, if that's post-mortem, that means she flipped him and then bet the other side of his skull in. Again, I don't know. It's innocent. I don't actually know. But no, none of it lines up. Nothing makes sense.
I don't... Unless they use different weapons.
No, it was the one hammer. The one hammer the whole time.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, every single one of them died from the one hammer. And then obviously the mother with the slit wrists and the fire.
And it's weird how the mother, like, going back to that element, like that complex that you're talking about, that she got the brunt of it. Because why, like...
Yes,
if she
got the worst death.
Yeah, like if she did have like any sort of like, I don't even want to say those kind of creepy feelings towards her dad.
Yeah.
Who's the one person that he's probably doing it with. Yeah. You're envious of it. You can't fucking
There's
stand
the main
it.
Competition there.
Gone.
Yeah.
And then your brother and sisters are the product of that relationship. As in like mm-hmm. her mother and her father. And you probably, she probably couldn't fucking stand the sight of that either.
Or even like, that could she be like, had two younger sisters and she probably thought, well, they're competition younger again. Than me. He might like them more. Yeah. And take him away from me as well. God. And then obviously Marquis, you this may as well finish so off the third one. So, you know,
well,
killed everyone
if
else.
If he's the son, like, then he's could be...
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he yeah.
To be honest, they could very easily have just been even, like, collateral damage. That, like...
It could have been.
Like, it could have just happened that she had a fight with her mom. And it, you know, spiraled. Do you know, like, the mother could have known that she was fucking weird.
I think it was predetermined. You know? I think she waited until her father left for work and then chose to kill them. I don't think there needed to be a fight or anything to set her off. It wasn't a trigger thing. It was planned, in my opinion. Again, it's only my opinion. I can't say for sure that I'm right and you're wrong and fuck yourself. Because like I've no way of proving that I could ever be right. And what the fuck do I know? This is just from my research, like what I'm guessing is what happened. But from what I, like, from all of this, I feel like she planned it for a while and then woke up and killed them all.
That's so fucking,
So, yeah. I mean, it could be that she only tried to kill the mother and then the brothers and sisters tried to stop her and then she killed them. So therefore, collateral damage, like you said, Quiva.
But how is a 3-year-old going to fucking stop? Or even attempt to stop somebody from like doing that? They're not going to have really a concept. Like, obviously they're going to see that their mom is in like pain and like something obviously isn't right because kids can pick up on that shit. But like,
it could have been that he was basically an alarm that she had to shut down.
Yeah.
3-year-old.
Like, he wasn't stopping her from doing that.
If they see it. Yeah. No, definitely not. But the sisters, maybe. But yeah. So because of that, Chloe was acquitted of murder and she was sentenced only to be a ward of the state for a year while under the care of her father. So she wasn't even like held in an institution or anything for a year. She was just released back to her father, but I guess couldn't leave for 1 year. And then after that was it. She was fine. That was it. She got let go. And I assume that was because she was technically like an accessory to murder and they needed to make sure that she didn't go on and reoffend. But I couldn't really find much about her life after that. I saw that she got married 3 times and she had 3 children with the first husband and that was pretty much it. I don't know, like, I know the first one, they got divorced. I don't know what happened to the second one. I think he might have died, in which case she might have fucking killed him. Who knows?
Yeah.
But then she died on March 5th, 1987 and took the truth of what actually happened with her. So we'll never fucking know.
Jesus.
And that is the wild fucking story of Chloe Davis.
My brain has literally like gone to mush. Like, I do not understand how she was let away with this.
I don't, like, I know we say all the time, like, it's so obvious, but come on, it's so obvious.
How obvious could it have been?
I don't know. I don't know how it happened. I don't. But again, the amount of corruption in the LA Police Department during that time that we are very aware of. You don't know.
And what did her dad do for work? Do we know?
He was a manager at a grocery store. So he wasn't really anything important, which is
strange. But he would have had a lot more money than...
Yeah, the average person, definitely. Yeah. Because he lawyered up real quick. So if he had good enough like representation behind him, sure, what could they fucking do?
And as well, friends in high places, you don't know...
Yeah.
Exactly. He could have gone to school or anything with someone.
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah.
I think he definitely had some connections, like, and it is very difficult to get the public behind sentencing an 11-year-old little girl to death, or not to death, to prison for murder, when there's like reasonable doubt, we'll put in inverted commas because it's their fuck, about her actual culpability. So I can see like how they ended up having to let her go.
All you have to do is take one look at her bug eyes and
her soulless,
you know,
dead
the child
eyes.
Is mental.
I can't.
I don't see how it's not obvious.
Me neither. I really don't. Like, oh my god. I knew you'd agree with me. Like I said, I tried to be unbiased and not be like, it was definitely Chloe. There's no way her story is true. Because like I said, there is
there's
a lot of
no
people
way.
Who are like, I don't know what to believe.
A blind man could see.
Yeah. But up until that point, nobody had anything bad to say about the mother. Then all of a sudden, after Chloe tells her story, all of these people come crawling out of the woodwork to say that she wasn't right in the head. That's not a bit fucking
it's
sus
the same
to
like,
you, like?
When Quiva was like making comparison to Chris and Shanann Watts, like,
yeah,
was it, and once the woman had passed, everyone was
oh,
coming
sure
out of the fucking woodwork to be like,
and,
oh, she was
yeah.
overbearing. She yeah. blah, 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 blah. She would shit
she
like that.
She was horrible to him. Yeah, exactly.
How are you blaming the dead for being murdered?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, it is so fucking easy after the fact to get, but like, you just go around, you give someone fucking, what, $50 back then would have been a shit ton of money. Give them that, be like, can you come forward and say that you saw my wife there 3 weeks ago and that she wasn't quite right in the fucking head? Like, yeah, not a bother. Yeah. No fucking problem.
Because it's not like it's the most, like, perverse thing to fucking get someone to do, or like,
yeah,
it's not really going to like morally corrupt them as much as saying like, okay, I seen her commit this horrible thing, like crime, or I seen
yeah,
her
exactly.
do X and it was terrible. Just, oh yeah, she was acting a bit batty like.
But like, it's not like women were people in the 40s, yeah. so he wouldn't have given a fuck. Not a singular. The amount of people he's probably sent away for 20 quid into an asylum.
But
like,
but you
my
know
wife
what,
is
as well,
getting me tits.
It could have very well been a case of like, it would have been easy to say to someone, like that, remember how we were saying that it was so easy to get somebody locked up into an asylum? You're like, okay,
yeah.
look, my wife, she's like so clearly like unwell, but the doctors won't do anything to help me. If I give you a bit of money, would you just please help me like get her admitted so she can get the help that she needs? Like, oh please, it's my wife, I love her. So easy to do something
yeah.
like that.
I love that you're
she
even
won't,
putting
she
it
won't
in way
admit
nicer
that
terms
she's like,
than I
no,
would
but like,
because
if you're appealing
like
to someone's like emotion and their sense of like
yeah.
self and like, so
saying,
you can get help.
I love that you think they have a sense of fucking self. I don't. I think you could have just walked in and been like, the wife is getting on me fucking tits, I want to run off and shag me mistress, but she's always in the way, look at the state of her, she's got saggy tits, will you just fucking put her into the asylum for me? The
like,
doctor was like, 50 quid, give it that, done.
Yeah,
even then though, like, I doubt it was all the time. I think like it would be like,
no.
as you said, like very easy,
like,
to say no, but as in, it's for her own good. Like, she won't admit that she's
yeah.
a problem. Like, it'd be very easy to manipulate your way into getting them put away, like, even if...
Like, oh,
if
she's scared of the kids.
Oh,
I feel like she's going to hurt the kids. I feel like it'd be the most
they believe.
Easiest thing would be drag up the children. Like, oh my God, can't hurt a child, of
yeah.
course.
They'll always uh-huh. believe the husband over the wife, like, always. So it would not have been
well, yeah,
hard
sure,
for him to go and get someone to lie for him.
Yeah, sure. Men aren't affected like by her their emotions, like, do you know? They're
no, exactly.
much more level headed and everything, like.
100%. It's not men that start wars and punch walls.
No.
All day. It bothers me. It bothers me so fucking much. But look, she got away with it. And she went on to have a weird life, apparently, but I just couldn't find anything about her properly after that. After she got acquitted, that's it. It's just like, no one gave a shit anymore, obviously, so nobody followed her anymore, but she got away with it. And again, if we could do a seance and be like, did you kill your family so that you could shag your dad, I would love to, because I'm
yeah.
very sure that's the reason why.
That's exactly what she wanted. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying that that's exactly, like, she wanted to shag her dad, like, she, oh wait, she definitely did, like, I'm trying
no,
to be politically, because she did.
Yeah. Like I said, it is the female equivalent of an Oedipus complex. And an Oedipus complex is that you kill your father and fuck your mother.
Yeah.
So then you just reverse that. You kill your man, fuck your dad. And that's exactly what she did. Well, we can't confirm the second part, but she definitely killed her mother.
Yeah. But it was definitely for the affection of her dad, because that's why she was
yeah.
like, oh my God, calm down, it's fine.
Yeah.
I've done this for us, in inverted commas.
Yeah, and like at one point, the a matron that was looking after her said to her that, like, oh, you know, you just need to put this behind you now when it's all over and whatever. Because obviously this poor woman thought this was just an innocent child caught up in a horrible family and fucking massacre. And Chloe turned around to her and she was like, it's not me that needs to forget, it's my father. She just, she did not care. Like, she didn't give a fuck. She just wanted him to get over it so that they could move on with their lives. If that's not...
Joe, she's probably getting, like, literally... Yeah, she was. She was getting impatient. She was like, I've moved on. Why can't he?
Yeah. She was over it 30 seconds after it happened. Like, over. Done.
Yeah, like, I did this for us. Why are you still...
Yeah. Not phased.
And literally just what Eva said, I did this for us. But I promised you. I promised you a scandalous story. Did I fucking provide?
Consider us scandalized. Like, I don't know what to do with the information we've been given.
There's nothing you can do. You just have to try and learn to sleep at night now.
I won't. She's clearly already started to haunt Caoimhe.
Yeah.
And she didn't even, like,
fucking difficulties.
She didn't even say, like, half as foul things.
So, Caoimhe, you've got some competition now for next week. Top that one. Oh.
I might go out and commit some crimes just so I
you're
can
not
win.
A child anymore.
Yeah, you're not going to a kid prison. Mentally have a child. Children. Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
We don't get sent to juvie. We get sent to adult prison if we commit crimes. Just because we think like children doesn't mean we are.
I mean, that's what you think, but I might get away with it. Well, I won't know if they fucking said it out loud, but...
Do not recommend... Yeah. For sure.
Plus, it doesn't count as a child murderer if you just murder children. That's just everything we
murder.
Do on the podcast normally.
Yeah.
We're trying to change the status quo here.
That is true.
I am all types of shook. Like my
very fucked up.
It is fucked up. It's really fucked up.
To be honest, I'm still traumatized by the pictures.
Yeah. But I had to send them to you to, like, add to my point.
Oh, no, for it sure. Has, like, and what is it? When I'm putting up the Insta, I'm literally going to put up, like, BT dubs. I might even put a cover photo on first before you swipe. Like, this is traumatizing.
Yeah. Prepare. God, it is more traumatizing to look at than fucking Ed Gein's nipple belt. Like,
that was a piece of piss compared to this.
Genuinely.
Like, even the blood-stained mattress.
On that, so...
Wait, blood
is less disturbing.
It's less disturbing.
100%. I think I probably would have been more comfortable seeing the dead bodies than is seeing that fucking picture. And that is no word of a fucking lie.
Like, in that picture where, like, she is by the doorway. I'm going to relate it to, like, a recent story that is not all, like, at all interconnected. But anyway, do you know the story going around where the bin man has got the sack for kicking this young lad's fucking snowman over? Ridiculous. Yeah. Like, man should not be given the sack, right? This child was standing, like, at, like, his fucking front garden getting a picture for the paper, just casually pointing to the snowman and where it, like, it once lay. That's what this little bitch is doing. In this.
This is where my mother died.
Just here. Right here.
And, like, a lot of the pictures, there's just this air of being annoyed that she has
like
to
like, she's bothered.
Pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bothered that her family
like, oh,
have
just
been,
be
like...
done with this now.
Torn to ribbons.
Yeah, no, it's just gone on for too
but, like,
long.
But, like, this is a waste of fucking time. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Get
and
over,
then
like.
Her oh beady eyes. It's like she doesn't blink. It's like doing Mr. Bean, the movie, and he has the matches, like, put between his eyes so he doesn't, like, fall asleep. That's what she likes, or looks like, just minus the matches. Like, she looks...
Yeah,
fucking
when he's in the
mad.
Yeah, she does.
No,
you
when he's driving.
See...
He's driving.
Yeah. Because that's why he can't fall asleep.
Oh, when he's driving. Oh, there's one when he's in the church then as well.
Like,
I don't think that's in the movie. That's in just like regular Mr. Bean episodes. But either way, you can literally see the lack of empathy in the bitch's eyes.
It's not there. Like, it's not.
And I thought it might have just been the photography at the time. But no, there's pictures of Lolita and stuff and everything. Like, there is expression in other people's eyes at the exact same time in the same family. Just not hers. Just
yeah,
not hers.
Dead inside.
She is dead inside. She's as dead as her fucking four family members that she bludgeoned to death with a hammer. She is dead. D-E-D
like,
dead.
Like, I cannot.
Ugh.
The state of her. My God.
But I think we should wrap it up here because I like, we will just go in circles on the fact that it was definitely her. and
a fucking
long silences of not being able to cope.
So I'm just
yeah, like truly, like what do you even say?
Her dad was definitely a bit noncy, number one. Yep. I feel like even though I'm half brain dead, I definitely feel like I still have a lot to say. She was a creepy little bitch, and even by looking at her bug eyes, they probably should just like launch her off something, like once she was like a small child and couldn't defend herself, because you should know looking at that that that's a fucking psychopath. Yeah, again, I'm not advocating for child abuse. And the pure idiocy of people around her that let themselves be manipulated by an 11-year-old. Man, that's embarrassing.
Honestly.
I'm embarrassed for you.
I mean, look, listeners, if anyone hears anything, if you can find more information than I could that leads us down a different path, something that corroborates her story, her version of events, makes it look like it wasn't her, bounce it out to me. I would love to see it. But any research I did, anything I looked at, it all just pointed it to it being that sadistic little bitch. I just don't see any version of events where it wasn't her. So I would love to be contradicted. I would love to be wrong. And I will happily apologise to all of the very dead people involved in the story now at this point for being wrong. I will.
I'm not apologising.
But I just don't think I am.
You shouldn't either.
Not her. No, because she still did murder her mother and brother. But like the father, if he's not a nonce, you know, that kind of thing.
Once but, people see that picture, I feel like...
Like I said, I don't feel like I'm wrong.
Twins with Jimmy Savile, one might say.
Yes.
Peas in a pedo pod. Yeah. That's exactly what they look like. It's sick.
100%. Yeah, I actually would love to be proven wrong because I don't want that image. I want it bleached out of my brain.
I'm just so tempted to go into the group chat now and to send like a load of gifts. So it goes the further up that it can. So I do not
We will get rid of it. We will get rid of it ASAP. I apologise to our listeners in advance for when you go and check out the Instagram after this. Yeah, sorry.
It's dirty, man.
Crucial. Crucial to the story. So that has been me for this week. I'm very proud of myself for fucking everyone's day up.
You have, because I was so excited. I was like, because I've never heard of it before. Now I'm just like regretting my initial excitement. It's like I should have gone into this in bad form already, because I wasn't expecting something up, like, not that I was expecting something uplifting, but I was like, I can laugh at this. I was so excited. I was like, this is going to be great, and I've just been full on traumatized.
I mean, I did warn you that when me and Quiva planned to tell you this story, the whole plan was to lure you into a false sense of security and then ruin your day.
I need a Valium. Yeah,
that was still the plan. The plan never changed. It's just I did it on my own this time.
My God.
Oh, well, it brought me joy. It brought me joy to see the fear and terror in your faces. So this refreshed me. It's given me a new lease of life for today.
Sadist.
Listen, you do it to me all the time, and then Quiva hurts my soul with her depressing stories. So this is the first time I've gotten a bit of payback out of it.
I'll give
Normally
it,
my stories are delightful. So we will wrap it up here, I think, for this week. And Quiva will be back next week with God knows what for her child murderer story.
Woo-hoo. And
interesting to know what set of emotions we'll go through next week.
I'm getting that anger once. Already. I'm going to tap into my clairvoyancy that I do not absolutely have. I'm getting anger. I'm getting
trauma, for sure. Big trauma.
Very, very much so. And I'm feeling I'm going to be very annoyed. Let me see, my spidey senses are tingling. At the police. I feel like that's where my anger might be directed towards, or like institutions where people should have remained.
Adults that should have done adult things and didn't do adult things.
Yeah.
Taste it.
You can feel it on your palate.
I feel like I'm going to be going a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just that exact noise. Yeah. I'm here for it.
We'll see next week anyway. We don't know what it is, but excited. We'll see. These are just our predictions.
We are here for it. And hopefully you guys are too. Thank you for enjoying the trauma of the last 2 weeks. We'll be finishing it up next week. So I ramble on far too much at the ends of these things, so once again I'm just gonna shut the fuck up and remind you to have positive vibes and negative tests and always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
I thought you were gonna go in with a sing-songy thing too, and I was like, shit, we need to get the tone right. But
I was gonna
the
try,
fact that you
didn't anyway.
Saved me.
I don't know why I sang it, to be fair.
It saved me, because I was not prepared. And join our cult. I forgot what my thing was.